Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're just going to get smarter because our good friend Rod Kurtz is back with us. We've met Rod a number of years ago. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for some time now. And when we first met him, he was with another organization. But when we find good people, we just don't let them get away. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're kind of like the Hotel California around here. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. And Rod Kurtz has found that out. He's now senior editor and has been now for a while of Inc. magazine. And my good friend, Rod Kurtz, welcome back to the show.
Jim, why would I ever want to leave? Always a pleasure, my friend.
It's good to have you back. Hey, and by the way, folks, if you remember, last week, and I don't think I mentioned it too much this week, but last week I mentioned that I was going to be on MSNBC's Your Business. And, of course, the other panelist on the show with me was Rod Kurtz, who was a veteran of that show. And, Rod, I had a lot of fun. You helped me make it through the night, so to speak, over there.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We were like the new morning news team over there. So for those of you who didn't catch the show, I think it airs again this weekend around 5:30 on Saturday. But it's always online. See, I'm plugging other shows here. But
there you go.
It was great to see you in New York, Jim.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, I enjoyed it very much, and hopefully we can do that again. Okay, Rod, one of the things that you guys are cover in Inc. Magazine's current edition is the impact that gas prices are having on employees. And what some employers are doing about that. Now, this is a very topical issue because, you know, people, their gas prices have gone up significantly in the last year or so, but and with gasoline prices for a lot of employees being a pretty good chunk of their budget sometimes, pay raises haven't gone up commensurate with that, have they?
Well, this is a big problem across the board. I mean, I think it touches almost every aspect of the economy. And as you mentioned, you know, companies themselves are struggling with this. If you have a product to deliver, if you're in the delivery business yourself, you know, your costs are going up. But you forget that, you know, all your people have to get to work. And if they're paying $4, $4.50 a gallon for gas now, you know, just getting to work is becoming a challenge in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And, you know, I wonder, What are some of the? I've got some of my thoughts on what employees or employers are doing or should be doing. But what are some of the things you're seeing out there? What are employers telling you that they're doing?
You know, it's interesting. People are taking a lot of different approaches. I think there's no, for better or for worse, and most people would say for worse, there's no magic bullet here. I think that, you know, some of the traditional ways that they're encouraging carpooling among their employees, and more people are willing to sign on. It's, you know, if you've got friends at work or what have you, it's, you know, an easy and, you know, definitely more fuel-efficient way of kind of sharing the burden there. You're also seeing there are a growing number of websites out there that do ride shares, so it may not be even people that you know ahead of time. It's sort of like online dating, but for just getting to work. And, you know, it can definitely, you know, if you're splitting it during the week, it could pretty much cut your gas expenditures, at least for your commute in half.
Well, how many times do you drive to work and you look over in the car beside you, and there's somebody that you've been seeing riding beside you into work for years, perhaps, you know, at the same time?
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
you know this guy, you know this lady, you know, and you don't know them, but you see them, and then somewhere within a couple of blocks of the office, you split off and go to two different buildings, you know, a block and a half apart or something.
And you're busy cutting each other off in traffic.
Exactly, yeah, developing road rage. But, you know, let's talk about the employer's part in all this, Rod. If you've typically wanted people to be at work at 8, and somebody comes to you and says, look, I've got an opportunity to share a ride with somebody and cut our gas prices, but they come in at 7:30. They come in a little earlier than I do. Could I have my hours from 7:30 to 4:30? I mean, the employers are going to need to be versatile in these to make adjustments in these things, aren't they?
Absolutely, and I think historically, you know, my take has always been that small businesses are a little more flexible when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yep.
Anyway, that if you have, you know, a family situation, maybe you have to take care of a sick parent or even a sick kid, you know, small businesses aren't big, rigid corporations. You can approach the boss on a one-to-one basis and say,
right,
you know, I'm dealing with A, B, or C, and they're more likely to let you do it. And I think that's why a lot of people like working for small businesses, and that's an advantage small businesses have in the workforce.
Absolutely. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about teleworking, another outstanding option for the current times. And then we're going to talk a little technology a little bit later on with our good friend Rod Kurtz, senior editor with Inc. magazine. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Lindsay Buckingham to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find all the things that we do here, the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show, including podcasting. You can read thousands of articles. The archives, by the way, of past shows are in our knowledge base of audio archives is over 6,000. So all of these are arranged in categories where you can pick the topic you're looking for and find what you're looking for. Articles, archives, the Brain Trust members are listed that way as well. And, of course, you can subscribe to our free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. We update that every weekday. And don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Rod Kurtz is our guest, K-U-R-T-Z, if you're Googling him, senior editor with Inc. magazine, and we're talking about some issues that are going on right now, some very current and topical issues. Rod, the gas, we're talking about the high gas prices and what employees and employers can do working together on this. I still, you know, I've been talking about teleworking for a long time now, Rod, and it seems to me that there are a number of people out there that they could take a laptop home one day a week maybe and work from home, and it'd just take a little bit of an adjustment, and maybe only an adjustment in the way you think about things, maybe not even all that different in the actual work that they're doing.
Well, and some people are probably even more productive from the living room couch anyway. So, no, I, you know, this is a growing trend. I think you, as always, were ahead of the curve on this one. And, you know, it really has, with the web and you know, cheap cell phone service, it really has become possible to bring your office anywhere. And this is something, again, you know, it gets back to even people's personal situations and the benefit that comes with working for a small business. You can approach the boss and say, look, you know, I really need to do Fridays at home. I got to take care of my kids. Or in the case of gas prices now, that if the boss is able to stagger, you know, who's in the office and who's out of the office, and it's a day where there isn't a staff-wide meeting or something like that, you know, you can be just as connected at home as you can in the office. So I think this is another, you know, potential solution for some of the gas price woes.
Are you seeing any employers adding any kind of a gas per diem, while prices are so high, where they actually kick in a little bit extra for employees at all? You know, just in other words, as long as they're at $4, you know, kicking in a little bit. If it drops to $3.50, it's less. Drops to $3, it's less. Are you seeing anything like that at all?
You know, I think that would come into play if you have to travel for work and the amount of money you get to expense, essentially. We're not seeing kind of a direct subsidy for the gas prices. But, some of the other ways that they're doing it, companies are buying a bunch of bikes and doing sort of a bike share there, where you can, use your bike to get to and from and, you know, hand off the bike to someone else. You're seeing a lot of cities do that as well. And
What is the device, the thing with the wheels and the handle? I always forget the name of that.
Oh, the Segway.
The Segway, yeah. Have you got your Segway yet?
I was actually, I think I told you, I was in Paris a few weeks ago on the Segway tour there.
Oh, you did? I didn't hear about
that. They're about $5,000 a pop, though, so not actually the most economical.
That's no hill for a climber like you, though, Rod. So did you like riding the Segway?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, and you know, if you know the Segway story, it's kind of an interesting entrepreneurial company in its own right. So, you know,
Are they allowing those in the sidewalks now? There was a time they wouldn't allow them on sidewalks.
I think it depends, you know, city by city, state by state. I actually think here in New York, where I live, that they're illegal on the streets. So that that throws that out the window. But you know, the benefit of living in a city, and we're seeing more people choosing to live where they work, and vice versa. You know, you do have public transportation. I ride the subway to work every day. Not only is that a green solution, but it costs a lot less.
I just wonder. I wonder, you know, if this isn't maybe an advantage for small business owners, because with small businesses being more, you know, part of the local communities, and maybe, you know, the bigger companies maybe being more out in the outlying areas. I wonder if maybe this wouldn't be something that a small business owner could see as an advantage to be able to hire and keep good people because of the commute situation.
I think that's true, and I think that this can certainly be a competitive advantage. You know, the gas prices are such that I think a lot of people have come to the realization that these aren't going down anytime soon. You're seeing, you know, GM wants to sell its Hummer unit now. I mean, the status symbol of the 90s, a big SUV. You know, people have completely changed their behavior, and I do think that applies to, you know, where they choose to live, where they choose to work. You know, I'm not sure people are at the point where they're just up and moving literally just because of gas prices, but they're taking that into an account, and if they have to, you know, get a new apartment or a new house or a new job, they're taking all these things into account. So I think that's something that, you know, if you're interviewing candidates and you're a small business owner, this can be a selling point.
Absolutely. Let's change subjects and move over to technology. Apple launched a new iPhone last week. What do you know about it?
You may have heard, Apple has quite a way of generating buzz. Steve Jobs has really mastered this. You know, when Steve speaks, the world listens. And they announced the new iPhone. It's going to be coming out next month. And
do you have an iPhone?
I do, actually. I am a committed iPhone owner. And, you know, I didn't jump on it right away. The first one with great fanfare was released last June. And, you know, I waited a couple months. And after trying it out probably a dozen times in the store, I said, you know, enough is enough. And this is the next generation version of it. So still quite a bit of buzz that came with it. Not as big as the first one, because the first time around it was a brand new product. But this actually, the reason this crossed our radar is that all things Apple these days tend to draw the interest of small business owners, because there are a lot of products, accessories that they make, and it's a lot of opportunity for these companies.
Hold on to that thought, Rod. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to get Rod to tell us about why he likes the iPhone and whether he thinks the new one has an advantage. It's the information that you can use. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Rod Kurtz is our guest. He's with Inc. Magazine. A little bit of Stones bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're visiting with our good friend Rod Kurtz, Senior Editor of Inc. Magazine. Rod, tell us how we can find out more about you guys.
Well, certainly you can pick up a copy of Inc. On newsstands, Barnes & Noble, places like that. But if you you want instant gratification, you can head over to Inc.com. It's INC.com. And if you want to search for either of the stories that we're talking about here, just type in iPhone at the top or gas prices, and they both should pop right up. So
I want to continue for a couple minutes more on the iPhone. You have one of the original iPhones.
I do indeed.
And you like it.
I'm a happy user. I was telling you during the break that I really love that it's just all in one. It's everything. You know, you got your email, you got the phone, and you know, I used to carry a cell phone and an iPod around. You know, I'm riding the subway, walking around New York, and it's great to have music with you. Well, and I was just tired of carrying two devices. So this.
Well, the big thing it seems to me that it gives you over. Now I have a BlackBerry Curve. I've been using BlackBerry since they first came out, and I like BlackBerries, but it does seem to maybe give you a better internet experience, a better surfing experience than I have on the BlackBerry, which is not a very good experience from a standpoint. I mean, I can go online and I can find stuff, but it's not a real, you know, it's not an HTML kind of experience.
Yeah, and I think that the BlackBerry, where it's still strong, is the email, in part because it's got a real keyboard. And, you know, one of the, I wouldn't say shortcomings because it's by design, but one of the things I don't like about the iPhone is that when you have to type, it's a touchscreen keyboard that pops up, and it's just not as satisfying a typing experience.
You want to feel that click, that hard click.
You want to feel those buttons. And, you know, but the web on the iPhone is you know, true HTML, which is great. You know, I probably use my computer at home about 50% less now because I can just be sitting on the couch and just pull up your site or Inc.com, and it's, you know, you can zoom in, and it's you're looking at the real web. It's not that mobile web.
That's pretty cool. So what's the new unit going to do? What's the difference?
Well, they're billing it, you know, twice as fast and half the price. So they're really with the price, it's going to be $199 to start now, which is half of what it currently was. So you're going to bring a lot more customers into the fold, a lot more consumers. But it's also going to be running on the 3G network, which is a lot faster. And I think that's going to
3G,
be a big...
by the way, folks, if you've got a mobile card, as we do, sometimes we use that when we travel, we pop this mobile card into our wireless slot. And that's the 3G, folks, if you're using that on your computer. So that is a lot faster than regular cell networks.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, in terms of the opportunity for business owners, again, we're talking about accessory makers, you know, the companies that make the cases and the headphones. You know, for whatever reason, Apple has largely ceded that to third-party people. So, you know, there are companies making millions, literally making cases and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But where the high-speed network comes in is that Apple is going to be launching this application store. Essentially, you can design a program for the iPhone, and Apple will sell it for you. They'll take a cut of it, but in the past, you know, they wouldn't let anyone make programs for the iPhone, and now they're just opening up the floodgates.
Wow.
So, you know, big software companies like
Microsoft.
They're
going to be developing software you can add to the iPhone?
Absolutely. And, you know, you'll have Microsoft and others doing their thing, but, you know, if you know how to write code and you can write a good program, you can sell it through Apple. So
very interesting.
It's really going to, you know, it's going to change the device. I'm still undecided whether I'll jump on the new one.
Well, isn't that one of the knocks on the original one is it was kind of slow, the network was kind of slow?
Yeah, and it still is. The upshot is that if you're in a Wi-Fi area, I have Wi-Fi at home and at work, so you can get on at Wi-Fi speeds. Mm-hmm. But now with the 3G, that'll essentially be Wi-Fi speeds anywhere you go.
And the 3G just picks up so quickly and so automatically almost.
Yeah, and so I'm curious to see it in action, but I think, you know, combined with the price cut and the 3G, you know, they haven't added a whole lot of features to the new one. Yeah. It really is the
price. Is it the same size?
It's pretty much the same size. I think it's, you know, maybe a little bit thicker, which is interesting, again, for the companies making these cases. They have to
redesign.
It should
be getting smaller, huh?
Yeah.
Not thicker, yeah.
They have to redesign their cases and everything else so that, you know, if you're a consumer, that means you have to buy a new case for the new phone. Which
absolutely. Rod, it's been a lot of fun having you here, as always. Thank you for being such a dedicated member of our Brain Trust. Give us the website again, please.
Sure. It is Inc.com, INC.com. A lot of good advice there for business owners, a lot of news, how-to guides, everything under the sun. So always a pleasure to join you, Jim.
Thank you, Rod. And, folks, of course, the Inc. magazine also available on newsstands around the country, around the world, wherever you find other magazines, you'll find it there as well. Rod Kurtz, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good, Jim. Take care.
Rod Kurtz, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. I will be too, but it'll be another hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to thank, before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I want to remind you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.